And then with Carol's part of the family, and plus us, you know, we moved. We moved to a different house. We took all of our stuff out of our house and took it all over and put it into another house. And then we also did that with Carol's dad. We took all of his stuff, took it out of where he lives, and took it over to where he is now and put it all in there. And then, you know, Carol's mom is right here, is with us this morning, can be with us. We took all her stuff and we moved it out of where she lives and put it on a truck and took it on over to our house and then put it all into our house. And then we took some more of her stuff, and because we are selling a house in Pennsylvania also, we took some more of her stuff and we took it up, put it onto a truck, and we took it up to New Jersey and took it out of the truck and brought it into Carol's sister's house. And that same day, we took some of the stuff that was on that truck and put it into our house in Pennsylvania. So what I'm giving up for Lent, moving anything from anywhere for any reason, it's there. That's where it is. Right? Actually, that's not going to work.
But that's what I want to do.
Oh my, and there's several reasons, some of which you can imagine why that would not work. One of them is this, which I think is the most important reason. If I don't move another chair, box, piece of furniture, whatever it may be, bag, from one spot to another, if I don't do that, I'm not going to know Jesus any better than if I did do it. It's not going to matter one way or the other. I'm still sorely tempted to give it up for Lent, but you know, the point is always, do you know Jesus better? And everything that we give up or do, whatever discipline is, do we know him better? That's always the point. In fact, when it's not Lent, Jesus is still always the point. And in fact, the only point is the point, the goal, the one. So, let me just give you one suggestion, and then we'll unpack a little bit of what happened here with the temptation of Jesus. And my suggestion is this. If you've given up eating certain things during Lent or drinking certain things, or whatever it is, sweets, chocolate, dessert, cauliflower, right? You know, whatever it is you gave up eating, when you don't eat that, when it's time when you usually have eaten that and you don't eat that, that you tell Jesus, I am hungrier for you than I am for this. And you will get to know him better. My heart and my soul are hungrier for you than this. See where he leads you. See what happens. It might be difficult where he leads you. I mean, look at him. The Spirit of God leads him into the desert to be tempted by the devil. That could happen. Just, you know, call somebody and get some help if that happens. All right. So, one of the things that Lent opens up to us, especially if you tell Jesus things like, I am hungrier for you. I want you more than I want these things. It opens up to us the ability to deepen a lifestyle of following after him. And a lifestyle is built on habits. And once you start an activity and it becomes a habit, and then you deepen it from that, it becomes a part of your lifestyle. And the lifestyle we are called to adopt and walk in and live out all our days is the lifestyle of following Jesus, following in his footsteps, following to become more and more like him, following to do what he did. So I want to be suggesting to you over these weeks of Lent five different activities that you could take up, completely up to you. I'm just going to suggest them. We looked at them briefly on Ash Wednesday, and it really has to do with developing a lifestyle in which you are following after Jesus, doing what Jesus would have done. And you could use the word bells to help you remember them. I mean, I hope I can remember them. What we're going to look at today is the activity of blessing other people, and then next week, eating with other people, and then the week after that, listening to other people, and then the week after that, learning about Jesus, and then the week after that, it is really settling in, you might say, to how we have extended the kingdom of God. So all five of those is what we're going to look at. And today we're going to look at blessing. What I would like to do is point out where that comes from. The desire and ability to bless comes from a certain source. And the blessing that God would ask us to give another person comes from a certain source. And that certain source is a vision. The vision that God gives you. The picture of what the big deal is with God. Why you would follow Him in the first place. When you have a picture of that, which we all do to one degree or another, then what flows out of that, among other things, is a desire to do things that bless people along the lines of that vision. Now, the Episcopal Church has a very definitive vision, very definitive definition, if you will, of what it is to be a Christian, and has a very vision-oriented one. It's written in our prayer book, and that is to work, pray, and give for the extension of the kingdom of God. So the vision is the kingdom of God extended throughout the entire earth. And we express that just a little differently in a way that fits us more specifically, and that is inviting all the communities around us into the family of God. So when you're in the family of God, you are, if you will, under the rule or the kingdom or the reign of God. So that's our vision. Out of that vision is we want other people to be blessed. To have them be blessed through us, individually and together, calls for a lifestyle. And that lifestyle, as we mentioned, comes from developing habits. So the habit of blessing other people becomes a lifestyle, and that lifestyle is what becomes the lifestyle of extending the kingdom. Now, I saw something about that in the gospel reading today. And I don't know, we're familiar with the story, most of us, and if you've been in the church for a number of years, as some of us have, you feel like you've heard this this story somewhere around 7,000, 8,000 times, maybe. Very familiar. You got three temptations, the devil and all this, famished. However, there's something I saw in here that I'd never seen before. And in the answer to the three temptations, the first two, Jesus says, "It is written." The third one, he says, "It is said." I notice that, and I'm thinking, why the differentiation? Why not just say "it is written" each time? And that's what I assumed every time he said "it is written." So here, the last time he says "it is said." Now that could mean just a number of things. Some of them not very major, and maybe some of them are. This is what occurred to me. Jesus says, "I've seen it written." And then, "I've heard it said." The next step after that, "so I want to do it in my life." Seen it, I've heard it, next, I want to do it. Well, what is it that he wants to do? Well, take a look at the second temptation. You know, all the kingdoms of heaven are given to me under heaven, all of them, every single one of them, and I can give you authority over each and every one of them. All you have to do is worship me. And Jesus says, "Well, no, worship the Lord God alone." In other words, my life is going to say that all creation worships God. All creation worships God. Because I have seen it written. I've heard it with my ears. And now I want my life to be formed in such a way that all creation worships God. All three of those and any other kind of topic can fit that. Turn these stones into bread. No, I have seen it written. I've heard it. And I want my life to proclaim that we live from every word of God. I want my life to say that. And Jesus is doing. That's what he's showing us. So how does that work for us? Well, you know, as you look at that, okay, I've seen it written, I've heard it, now I want my life to do that. There are steps in between that get you to that point where I want my life to do it. Sonny, is it at all possible to get the echo out of that? If not, I can turn this off at this point. Okay. No, it's on. It's on. Okay, great. How's that? Anybody hear an echo? Good. Okay. We're in great shape. Yes. Okay, good. Very good. All right, we're much better now. What was I talking about? No, right. So, getting from I've seen it and I've heard it to the point where I want my life now to portray it. I want my lifestyle to be extending the kingdom of God. How does that work? It is taking up habits, like we do in Lent. So the habit that I want to suggest to you today is blessing other people. And I want to encourage you to this week, this coming week, to bless at least three people, one of whom is not a member of this church, and in fact that you may be in not very much contact with, but you know, hopefully God just opens that door. How am I going to do that, is what you're thinking. Give me an example. How does that work? Well, it works like this. And this is where the challenge is. For all of us, for me as well as everyone. You bless someone when in some manner or another you have joined in with what God is already doing in their life. Whether they worship him or not, whether they know the name of Jesus or not, whether they seem to be nice or not, God is at work in them. If you've asked him to show you people to bless and somebody comes to mind, that is a sign that God is already at work in them. And to bless that person is to join in with that work. At whatever level, to whatever degree, is how you would do it. And that's one of the basic ways of walking in the Christian life, of doing what Jesus asked you to do. It's a very different thing to say, you know, God, this person really gets on my nerves, and I would really like you to straighten them out. And I would ask for a show of hands as to how many have prayed that, but we don't need to do that. It's all right, God will let that one slide. The alternate to that that Jesus gives us is to start asking God, what are you doing in that person? What's going on with them? They've come to my attention. What are you up to? Could I join in with that? And that may be a very little thing. It may not seem to make any difference in your mind. It may be just calling them up, seeing how they're doing. It may be stopping over. It may be just praying for them without letting them know. But there may be something else. I mean, who knows? It's whatever God is at work in and you are joining in. Now, why is that important? That's important for this way. We are following after Jesus and we bless people because we follow a God who is a blessing God. We're doing what God does. When God is blessing someone, we want to join in with that blessing. It takes our natural desire to give back, to help out, to meet needs. It takes it one step further where we are actually not only developing in ourselves a lifestyle of following Jesus, but we are also extending the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is functioning and active wherever God is ruling. That's what a kingdom is, the place of ruling. When you see God beginning to act in someone's life in one way or another, however God shows that to you, and you join in, you are extending that kingdom. That's our description of a Christian. One who works, prays, and gives for the extension of the kingdom of God. So you have a neighbor who gets on your nerves? What's God doing in them? Can you join in with that somehow? You thought of someone who you knew many years ago, and you have not been in touch with them since then, and you have an opportunity to do it? Maybe that's God. Go ahead. You could check that off as one of the three. Okay. Do you see how it works? It's challenging. But it depends on you listening to the Spirit of God. As you listen to the Spirit of God and get to know that sound of that voice, you know Him better. And when you come out on the other side of Lent, on Easter, you know Him better. And you've begun to develop a lifestyle where you know Him better. That is one of our highest priorities. Just continue to know Him better. No matter what other things are going on in your life, what your other commitments may be, the question starts becoming, how does someone who follows Jesus fulfill that commitment? Follow after this line of thinking. Do these kinds of things. Okay, everybody all right? Okay, Richard has a question. Go ahead, Richard.
You say bless, say,
well, yeah, I mean, if they sneeze and you say that, it doesn't count. Okay? Well, maybe it would count, but try to go past that a little bit. Yeah, Richard's question is, if you go up to somebody and say, God bless you, does that count? Is that what God's doing in them? Then it would count. I mean, is God just saying to them, God bless you, and you feel God saying, yeah, join in with that, Yusuf. Then you've joined in. The question is, what's God doing? How do I join in? How will God have me join in? So you have to lean in. You have to listen. I can't give you much more than that. It's you digging a little deeper, listening maybe another moment, catching a little more of what God is up to. There's no formula. Not that you were asking for a formula, but there's no... Yeah. So if you say, God bless you to three people, no, please don't check that off. Keep leaning in. Leaning in. It's you following Jesus to extend His kingdom, and you develop that lifestyle so that you will always be doing that all the days of your life. Because it shows you follow a God who is a blessing God. Okay, that's a good question. Are there any others? Okay. Well, very good. Very good. Okay. Yeah. You just slipped it in there. Go ahead. I'll bless you by entertaining that question, right? Yes. You are, absolutely, 100%. You get extra credit for that. That's okay. So am I. Will you let us know how that goes next week?
Great, great, thanks.
You're going to be here next week? Okay, good. We'll check.
Excellent, excellent. Okay.
You do? Okay, sure. It is. Let me give you this challenge with that, because there's a number of situations like that. We know people who are in really bad situations. It's tough, and they're doing great, and you want to support them. That would be a natural thing to do. I want to challenge you, because you know Jesus, because you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever, to take one step further into the extension of the kingdom. What is God doing to which you can add? And I don't know what that would be. If that goes beyond what you're doing, great. If not, then you're way ahead. It's just, it's you and I getting used to the prompting of the Spirit of God to extend His kingdom. And it's fluid. It's growing. It opens up doors we never thought of. Things happen we never imagined. I would not be surprised if you and I see people we never thought, dreamed, would ever worship God, surrender their lives to Him because of blessing. Oh, this side of the room is now. Yes. Oh, yeah.
And it always makes me feel really good.
Yeah. It does. Yeah, don't give that up for Lent. Yeah. But go further. Go to the place you've never been. Step into the area you cannot see. Follow the voice of God into what you do not know. I don't know how to describe it. You cannot see what you do not know. All right. We're going to have to stop soon because, we got Paul Ockenball coming up.
So here I am in a prison.
Yeah.
And I'm not really supposed to talk about Jesus.
Right.
I'm not supposed to say bless you or anything that's related to a lingo of Christianity, which oftentimes for many people is just that, a lingo. And so I have to go beyond, if I'm going to bless somebody there, I have to look and see what God is doing in them that is somehow shows me God is doing something. I don't know what that always is.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a sparkle in their eye.
Yep.
Sometimes it's the way that they answer the question. And I just lean in and say something to myself, God, is that you talking somehow through this experience that they're telling us? And then all I have to do is say, okay, that was so encouraging to me.
Yep.
It just made my day to have you say that or something like that. And that extends a sense that they're catching something beyond themselves.
Good example.
And their situation.
Yep. Very good example. You can do that without Christian language. Just an encouragement, building them up, prompting them on. So you can do that. Yeah.
I don't mean to say that language is not existing sometimes, but for a person that is not or is sensitive to it or doesn't have the depth of knowledge that we have about it,
that's true. Or if they've had some negative experience with that. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. If you have more questions, sit with me during the potluck, all right? Very good. Let's stand.
Lord Jesus, we thank you that you lead us in your path into the receiving and giving blessing. And we ask you now, lead us this week into doing that for the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen.